Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Tetzaveh. Usually Parshas Tetzaveh is affiliated with one of the Arba Parshios, but this year, because of the Ibriyar, we get a chance to look at it in of itself. And so, of course, we begin the Parsha with the command to go ahead and take Shemen Zayizach, Lahalos Ner Tamid, to light a permanent light. And what is the purpose of the menorah? Why is it that the purpose of the menorah lighting the Ner Tamid, given a separate command in a separate parsha? The placing of the Lechem Hapanim on the Shulchan seems like a byproduct of the command to build the Shulchan. Why do we have both of these disparate styles used? What's the uniqueness over here? So Baruch Gihi Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva in Haretzion, explains that the Shulchan represents Parnasa and man's pursuit of it. The menorah represents spiritual pursuit. And so while man has times in his life that are devoted to things that appear to be different from his pursuit of Torah, the ultimate goal of everything we do is to light a Ner Tamid. It's always a focus on the Ner. And so even if we're focusing our Parnasa or health or raising our families, our focus still needs to be that these activities are indeed just sub-goals of our main goal, that of making a Ner Tamid. So Birchas HaTorah, for instance, we don't make Birchas HaTorah again in the middle of the day, because our day is focus filled with Torah study. There are certain times we have to take things that look like deviations from that goal, but our goal ultimately is Ner Tamid, and that's it's always on our mind. There's no Hesach Hadas, and so therefore there's no need to go ahead and make a bracha again, and so therefore we don't. Then we spend a good chunk of the parsha focusing on the big day kahuna, which we're told are to be made lechavod ulesifaris. Excuse me, the Klei Yakar in Perek Chavches Pasuk Lamedtes notes that there was an individual who was very well known at this time of the year, who also wore the Big Day Kahuna. The Gemara tells us that Achashverosh also put on the Big Day Kahuna. And Klei Yakar explains that Achashverosh's intent was to atone for all of his sins that the Big Day Kahuna are supposed to atone for. And that's where he was wrong. Rav Elia Svei, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose wife Nebuch passed away earlier this week, he suggested otherwise. Rav Elia opines that the basis of the kapara aspect of the Big Day Kahuna are the fact that they inspire the nation to have positive midos and to change those in life that are not positive. And Achashverosh thought that he too had midos and shitos, and he too wanted to inspire his midos and shitos, so he put on the Big Day Kahuna. But that's where Achashverosh made a mistake. A person can't have personal shitos and midos and expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to amplify and meet them. Proper midos and the way to express them are a function of the divine. And that's where Achashverosh and the Big Day Kahuna were on different wavelengths. Achashverosh's shita and ethics is not the ethics of the Torah. The ethics of the Torah define the what is ethical. It's not that there's an ethic independent. There is an ethic that we live by that is Torah-based. Then we're told one of the Big Day Kahuna that was supposed to be worn was the ephod. And Rashi, right away when it's introduced, tells us that he never understood what the ephod was, but it seems to be tied in the back and worn in the back. Why do you think it was an apron tied specifically to protect the back? So Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal suggests that it boils down to an understanding of the function of the ephod. The Gemara in Erchin on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph notes that the ephod was there to atone for the sin of Avodah Zarah. Now, Avodah Zarah happens when people make mistakes in their understanding of Hashem and use the metaphors of our relationship with Hashem and take them literally. And so thus, things that are used as metaphors, like the stars being the eyes of Hashem, they literally become the eyes of Hashem. But really, they're not supposed to be that way. The system takes the beauty of the literal relationship with Hashem and leaves only the waste byproduct, the similes and the metaphors, without the nutrients that they contain. Just like a human or animal waste is created once the good is sucked out of them when we ingest food. And so just as a waste is removed from the body, the ephod needed to atone for the sin created from the waste, namely that of Avodah Zarah. And it needed to be in the place that Avodah Zarah is represented, from the behind of the human being. B'nishma kolo, we're told that when he wears his me'il, his voice should be heard. So Rav Gifter Zatzal noted, excuse me, that the bells at the end of the me'il of the Kohen Gadol let off a distinct but a pleasant noise. And it reminds us that each and every step we make in life also needs to be measured and focused because it makes an impact. But, says Rav Gifter, we need to remember that that impact can also be a pleasurable one and should be as we pay attention to each of our steps. We're told that when the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, it should be on his head all the time. And the Gemara in Yuma notes that one needs to check his tefillin all the time. And the source is from right here, from the fact that the Kohen Gadol had to be aware of the tzitz on his head. Now the tzitz only had one askara of Hashem, and the Kohen Gadol had to have it on his head all the time. And tefillin have many mentions of the name of Hashem. And so therefore, kal v'chomer, we have to have it on our mind all the time. But Tosfos in Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph asks, how does one learn that he needs to touch his tefillin from? Tosfos answers that if one needs to keep something on his mind, as long as he's wearing it, he needs to be active with it. And so the regular touching of the tefillin keeps him active with the touching. He should measure it, make sure it's in the right place. The problem with Tosfos' suggestion is that Kohen Gadol is not allowed to touch the tzitz. He's not allowed to keep touching it. He's not allowed to raise his hand above the tzitz. So why weren't we concerned with his Hesach Hadas? Why aren't we concerned there, in that possibility? And how is the Kohen Gadol, supposed to touch the tzitz if he's supposed to literally do it all the time? What's the going on over here? So the Stipler Zatzal explains that perhaps in that case, the very fact that you can't raise your hand above the tzitz is the reminder that's needed. Sometimes that which you can't do stays more on your mind than the things that you can. Alternatively, the Stipler suggests that the fact that there is a mitzvah of Mora Mikdash makes the Kohen Gadol constantly give himself a major focus. Later in the parsha, we're told Vasisa Mizbech Miktar Ketores were introduced to the Mizbach HaKetores, the Mizbach HaZav. And the question has to be raised, this is a Klei HaMikdash, this is one of the Kelim in the Mishkan. The Kelim should have been in last week's parsha. Why is this one only delineated after we talk about the Kohen Gadol and his Begadim, the Kohanim and their Begadim? What's the message over here? So Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal suggested that Ketores smells were far-reaching. They were even detectable as far away as Yericho, says the Gemara. Moreover, the smell that penetrates into a person even when he doesn't want to, and also, smell can protect a person from harm by alerting him to noxious things that can harm him or her. So Moshe adds that the Torah leader needs to function in the same way. He, who is represented by the Mizbach HaZav, needs to be able to influence the people even when they're far away, and even when it appears that they're not willing. He needs to be able to smell which ideas are foreign and which are not, in order to distance himself and his followers from them. And so therefore the Torah waited until after recognizing that personage of Aaron, who was a Jewish Liar, who was a star at influencing people positively, before putting the symbol of the Mizbach HaZav into the Sefer Torah, in order to encourage Jewish leaders to be like the Mizbach HaZav, but to use the example of Aaron HaKohen as a leader that we Torah leaders need to aspire to. The Parsha also says, "Hektir alav Aaron Ketores Samim," that Aaron should bring the Ketores. Now why does Aaron have to be the one to do it? I thought that the Ketores can be brought by any of the Kohanim each day that wasn't Yom Kippur. So Rav Shachter used to quote from the Sforno at the end of Parashas Pekudei, who suggested that in the Midbar, the Anan was so strong that it created an environment wherein each day of the entire 40 days was like a day of Yom Kippur. And just as the Kohen Gadol does the entire Avodah on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol also did the entire Avodah in the Midbar, and therefore the Torah's language was literal. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told, Zos Torah Sabayis, this is the story of the house. And Rav Rivlin tells us that the Nevuah of Yechezkel in this week's Haftorah is different from the dimensions of the first Beis HaMikdash of the Haftorah from Parshas Truma. And it's also different from Masechet Midos, which describes the dimensions of the second Beis HaMikdash. And still, says Rav Rivlin, one doesn't need to despair in the inconsistencies. He cites Tosfos Yontif at the beginning of Masechet Midos, who notes that the inconsistencies tell the story better. As Hashem allowed different interpretations from first Beis HaMikdash to the second, and still made sure that the integrity of the Masorah was solid, He will reveal the meaning in these prophecies, and He will make them also consistent with His will when He goes ahead and He rebuilds the third Beis HaMikdash. It's not for us to just willy-nilly choose to do it. There has to be Drosh Al Pi Navi. But to assume that if it's told properly by a Navi Mumche, it will help us be able to be miyasher, to even up the process as well. We constantly sit and read these parshios. And Maori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter used to always tell us this is a great time to study the Inyanei HaMikdash, so that we should be Zocha B'Mehera V'Yameinu, to be there, to watch these inconsistencies fall apart, so that as we get to the consistent will of Hashem, by Yomahu Yeh Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, Shabbat Shalom to all.